are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. The BBC's documentary series Planet Earth and Planet Earth 2 featured incredible footage, brilliant storytelling, David Attenborough's stunning narration. It also featured a stark and noticeable contrast between the materialist worldview assumed throughout and the wonder, the awe, even the attitude of worship inspired by what they had captured on camera. Throughout the series, the writers assumed that all of what they showed was nothing but an accident. And yet at the same time, the sense that nature is wondrous, enchanted, even, shall I say, intelligently designed, basically creeps into every line, every shot, even into the musical score. Well, in a new nature documentary produced for Netflix in partnership with the BBC, that contrast is even more obvious. The film is called Our Universe. It's narrated by Morgan Freeman and has an intriguing and daring premise. The story of physics and cosmology, how the universe came to be and how it works, can be told in terms of biology, or the lives of the creatures who depend on that universe. Now, to pull this off, the producers combined eye-popping CGI of nebula igniting stars, elements forged in the heart of the sun, molten protoplanets colliding to form our solar system, along with footage of cheetahs, chimpanzees, bears, sea turtles, elephants, and penguins. The whole point is to tell the story from a secular scientific perspective of how the origins and constants of our universe make life possible and feed and preserve every living creature. And it does all of this with the same unmistakable sense of awe, reverence, even thankfulness as Planet Earth did, all while assuming that there's no one to thank in the first place. All of the wonders are instead explained in terms of the Big Bang, billions of years of undirected stellar and biological evolution, and a series of unbelievably lucky accidents that led to Earth and its treasury of life. The writers take for granted that the universe even had a beginning, while neglecting to mention that science only accepted that inconvenient fact in the last century. It also brushes aside the origin of the first life by saying water gave rise to it. Our universe makes no bones about the fact that ours is somehow a privileged planet, and there's nowhere else in the known universe remotely hospitable to life. Earth's existence is downright miraculous, the film portrays. In Psalm 19, David said that the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech. Night to night reveals knowledge. Books like The Privileged Planet by Guillermo Gonzalez and Jay Richards, and Stephen Meyer's book The Return of the God Hypothesis explain why physical evidence is best explained by a divine designer, and why materialist attempts to make sense of a miraculous existence fall so flat. They add a piece to this puzzle that the film Our Universe just leaves out. Our Universe does end with a cover of What a Wonderful World. It's a moving montage of the cosmic and creaturely wonders that have been portrayed in each episode. And as much as I love Louis Armstrong and that song, a much more appropriate end would have included Matty Babcock's hymn, This Is My Father's World. And to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees and skies and seas. His hand, the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, he shines in all that's fair, in the rustling grass, I hear him pass, he speaks to me everywhere. May we have the listening ears and the thankful hearts to acknowledge the one who is speaking, even as we see him in documentaries like this, whether they admit it or not. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Shane Morris. For more resources to live like a Christian in this cultural moment, go to ColsonCenter.org.
Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Mountaintop experiences, experiences in the valley. It changes our lives. We see God providentially working. If our faith and our obedience depends on how I feel, what I think is right, what seems to be good to me, always end up in a place where God would not have us to be. So it's here's the fact, here's the word of God, here's the faith that follows, and obedience triggers that faith, and suddenly feelings follow in every single life.
The truth is, God is currently working out His plan for you specifically. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins a message called Mountain of Exception and teaches that God is at work in your life to fulfill His plans without violating your free will. So stay with us. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to put a special resource in your hands to help you make God's Word part of your daily routine this year. The one-year chronological Bible is designed to help you read through the entire Bible in less than 15 minutes a day. We'll send you the one-year chronological Bible as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for your help reaching more people in 2023 with the proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. Now you can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Mountain of Exception, Part 1.
Basic principle we need to have established over and over again. And that's the providence of God. God is running this universe. He always has, He always will. And He does it somehow without violating man's gifted by God to be a free moral agent and also His divine purpose. God's purpose, man's freedom, they never get confused because in the process, the Lord is working together His plan, His will, His providential design for every life and for this world. Everybody's ever lived, everybody's living today. God in His own way is providentially working through those lives. We see this. That's one reason we have the Bible. God lets us see in His special people, the Jews, whom He called out from the rest of the world, how God is working in the lives of all of these individuals and all of these situations through thousands of years. And so we read the Bible and we see how God is working there, that God is working in our lives. Some little something happens here. It's determinative of the rest of your life. Here's something casual happens over here. Man, I didn't think any importance of it, but how big it became in the direction of life. Changing moment. Mountaintop experiences. Experiences in the valley. It changes our life. We see God providentially working. Now, let me just give you just a little zip through some things in the Bible to see that happening in odd ways, strange, mysterious ways. Two men are talking in a prison. Their conversation leads to Joseph becoming governor of Egypt. A prison conversation. Now, who would have planned that? We move on and we see that the daughter of Pharaoh is taking a bath in the Nile River, no big deal. That's where she bathed. And here comes a throwaway Jewish child down in a little ark and floats down. And suddenly she adopts little baby Jewish Moses, and God prepares him to be his leader to take his people out of slavery into freedom. My goodness, just a woman bathing in a river, counting a baby who was a throwaway. How strange is that? A father wanted to provide food for his sons who were battling, and they were in a standoff battle between the Philistines and the Israelites. And so this father takes his underage son, who was too young for the draft to be fighting, takes this little freckle-faced shepherd boy and says, take this food, your brothers. They're hungry, they're fighting the battle for the Lord. And there little David takes that food to his older brothers, and zip, it ends up in David facing Goliath. Who would have thought? And here's a beautiful little Jewish girl who's taken into the harem of a powerful Persian king, and she is used in just that moment in history for such a time as that to save the lives of thousands of people in her race, in her religion, in her family. Who would have thought that? And here in our scripture, we have a country boy named Saul, whom his father Cush sent him out to find some donkeys that had wandered away months before so they could use the donkeys in the harvesting of the crops. And now this awkward, bucolic country boy from the smallest tribe and the most insignificant family, he encounters Samuel, God's prophet, and zip! This awkward country boy named Saul becomes the first king of Israel. Boy, you look at all these strands of history and life and put them all together and you say, my goodness, how in the world does this work? It is, the providence of God operating always. That's what we need to see in your life and my life, and we see it in biblical principles over and over again. And so we see now Israel has a king. And the people wanted it, and Samuel wasn't clear. And finally God gave permission and told him how to find this king. And it was a chance meeting that Samuel, ran into Saul and prepared him through discipleship to be the king. Oh, no, there are no accidents. I despise people who say, well, I was just lucky. I want to take them and say, awake, awake, my son, my daughter. There's no such thing as luck. There's something as chance, but not luck. All of life, big things, little things, monumental things, unsuspecting things, it's all according to the providence of Almighty God, and you see it magnificently in the life of Saul. We started off with, here's a fact. We respond to a fact with faith. And following the fact and faith comes feeling, remember? And as long as we have our faith and we're obedient to the truth, to the facts, the feelings will follow. If our faith and our obedience depends on how I feel, what I think is right, what seems to be good to me, you always end up in a place where God would not have us to be. So it's, here's the fact, here's the word of God, here's the faith that follows, and obedience triggers that faith, and suddenly feelings follow in every single life. Mission trip in Africa, visiting with a missionary and his family on the edge of the jungle. They're sitting there on the porch talking. Toward the end of the day, the sun is going down, beautiful scenery, and a young boy is playing there in the yard on the edge of the jungle. And suddenly the missionary father stands up and says, Philip, fall on your belly. And he did. Crawl to me as rapidly as you can. And he did. Now stand up and run to me. And he ran to the boy, and everybody looked around and said, what's going on? You see, the father saw in the tree there was a boa constrictor who was hanging over that boy. And if he hadn't obeyed immediately and followed his father's command, if he'd been like some of our children, well, why, Daddy? What should I do? But he obeyed. And look, what happened to it? This is the point, the principle here. And this is where we're going to see that Saul and ultimately King Saul got in tremendous trouble. King Saul, by the way, Saul had it all. If you want to look for the characteristics of leader, said, I want to find somebody who is a real leader, who could be king, prime minister, president, dictator, whatever you want to call them. Man, Saul had it all. Look at the beginning in chapter 9 of 1 Samuel. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish. This is Saul's father. Look at verse 2. Kish had a son whose name was Saul, a choice and handsome man, and there was not a more handsome person, listen, than he among all the sons of Israel. From his shoulders and up, he was taller than any of the people. Man, he was tall, dark, handsome. Man, what a specimen. Physically strong. You can read all the preamble here of Saul. You see he was intelligent. He was hardworking, respectful of his father. He was a man that you wanted to be with. He was just handsome beyond belief. Charisma flowed from him. He had all the natural gifts of intelligence, of ability, of appearance, of strength. I mean, what more are you going to find humanly or naturally? He was greatly gifted. And then on top of this, as Samuel discipled him, this is through many verses in the Bible, Samuel discipled him, Saul was not a religious man. You say, how do you know that? Because when he met Samuel, he didn't know who Samuel was. That's like living in America 10 years ago and you meet Billy Graham. Well, who are you? He just spoken to more people in the flesh than anybody's ever lived, but who are you? See, he wasn't religiously oriented because Samuel was God's prophet, God's leader for the children of Israel at this time. And when Saul met him, he didn't know him. But Samuel built into Saul, and the Bible tells us Saul was given a new heart. And then Saul was given a whole new personality. And then they call Saul one of the prophets. In other words, he became God-fearing. He became spiritual. And all of his friends said, my, what has happened to Saul? Man, he's now God-fearing. How did this take place? He was just one of us. And now look at all the stuff that Saul had in his life. All the natural ability to be a leader, all the supernatural ability to be a leader. Saul had everything you'd look for in someone who would be king. Everything. And we know what a terrible situation we find Israel at this time. And it all began with the last verse in the book of Judges. Important verse. They'd had all these vicious, mean, would-be dictatorial leaders running Israel until finally they were in such a terrible situation that all the judges had died and they had failed ingloriously through all the years. And the last verse in the book of Judges in the Bible says it clearly. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Feelings. Everybody did what's right in what you think, I think. Everybody did what's right in their own eyes because there was no king in the land. If there's no king in your life, if there's no king in my life, we just do what's right according to our feeling, what's right in your eyes, what's right in our eyes, and the result, ladies and gentlemen, always is disaster. But Saul had it all. And Saul had a sense of call. You can read there about a part of his ordination exercise, and it's for many chapters. Chapter 10 of 1 Samuel. Then Samuel took the flask of oil and poured it on his head, kissed him and said, has not the Lord anointed you a ruler over his inheritance? And it says, verse 9, God changed his heart, changed his life. He had it all. He had all the natural, all the supernatural. Now he had a sense of the call of God that he would be king. And interesting, in all this, he kept his humility in the beginning. He really did. They brought all the people together for his coronation. They couldn't find Saul. You know where he was? Hiding in the baggage, the Bible. He was so embarrassed. He was overwhelmed with it all. He had humility. He was a forgiving person because there was a little crowd there who didn't want him to be king. And there's always opposition. By the way, if you're doing something for the Lord and there's not opposition, you're probably not doing something for the Lord. Just a side note. And so there was a little group there that opposed him, and normally a king would come and kill all of them. But Saul said, "Oh, it's all right. I forgive them. They'll fit in. They'll see what God is doing." And they did. So he was humble. He was forgiving. He was gracious. He was brilliant. He was talented. He was handsome. He was strong. He had natural. Saul had it all, and he had God's call on his life. I mean, what more could this close the chapter? I mean, we got it. But I want you to see the fall of King Saul. The bigger they are, the higher, the more, the longer is the fall, is it not? And we see that beginning tragically here in his life. And by the way, we fall gradually. We don't say when you become a thief, you don't start off by robbing the bank. Have you noticed that? You sort of build up. You cheat a little more in school, and you take things when nobody finds out, and you just sort of move up through the ranks until the mafia, you become a made person. And that's how it works in every single life, in every area of sin and rebellion against being a man or a woman who's obedient to the Lord. Every time, it's gradual. We see this with Saul. We see it in chapter number 13. And the situation is this. The Philistines are attacking God's people. Now Saul, by the way, another example of humility. After he was ordained as king, he went back in the field and worked as a farmer, as he always did. Isn't that something? I mean, what a guy. What a leader. And now the Philistines are attacking. So Samuel says, "Saul, you get the army together and you gather them up. We're going to throw out the Philistines, and you wait 7 days. And Samuel says, I will come and offer a burnt offering. We will have a worship ceremony, and then we'll go fight the Philistines." And look what happened here. Verse 9, chapter 13, 1 Samuel. So Saul said, "Bring to me the burnt offering and the peace offering." And he offered the burnt offering. And as soon as he finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to greet him and to meet him. But Samuel said, "What have you done?" Now remember, he was to wait 7 days. Samuel would lead in the worship, but Saul said, "I can't wait." And this is his excuse that he gives. He said, "I saw the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the appointed days, and the Philistines were assembling at Michmash." Well, look what happened. Clear word of God instruction to Saul, and Saul says, "I can't wait." And he was impatient, and he took the situation in his own hands because he blamed it on the people, he blamed it on the situation, and he said, "You know, I'm an exception. You have to make an exception with me. I wasn't completely obedient, but exception, I'm making an exception." Isn't that what we do so many times? "Well, God, I make an exception because I was in church last Sunday. I teach. I'm a good person. I've got all these responsibilities. I'm tired." And so make an exception with me. Saul said he was exceptional. This passage says, though, how the mighty have fallen. Exceptionalism. First step in his fall. Look at the second step in his fall, and I'll walk you through it quickly. I wish I could read all the scripture. It's a powerful thing for us. Chapter 15, it says, Saul is sent out now on another assignment. He is to take army and wipe out all the Amalekites. Samuel said, "You're to kill every man, every woman, every child. You're to kill all their animals, sheep, goat, oxen. You wipe out everything about the Amalekites." You say, "Well, my goodness." You know who the Amalekites were? Read your Bible. They were ISIS of that day. The Amalekites were terrorists, even going back when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. They wouldn't fight people up front. They infiltrated from the back. And they were killing and destroying, and they were demonic people. What do you do with a mad dog? Make a pet out of it? Have a conference with it? Get counseling for the dog? You kill the dog. And these were animals. They were demonic. And God said, take everything out with them. And look what happened. Once again, there's a clear call for obedience. Look at what Saul did in this particular situation. It is devastating. He killed all the animals except the healthy animals. And he killed all the Amalekites, these demonic people, except their king, Agag. And then you read when Samuel is coming, Saul said, blessed are you, I have carried out the command of the Lord.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Anger is an emotional response that can be positive, but the wrong kind of anger can be debilitating. There are two safeguards Paul gives us in Ephesians 4 to keep us from the wrong kind of anger. First, he tells us not to let the sun go down on our wrath. In other words, deal with problems and tensions as soon as possible. Don't let them linger, or they will fester until they explode inappropriately. And the second safeguard is this. Don't give the devil a foothold in our life. If our anger is vicious or vindictive, the devil will use that to destroy our lives and drag us down. The right kind of anger, righteous anger, is a gift God gives us to use as we speak up and speak out to make a difference for Him. Ask Him to help you to be angry at the right things and in the right way, and to employ these two safeguards to avoid anger that is selfish or harmful to yourself and, of course, to others.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. And we hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to help you stay grounded in that truth all year long with the one-year chronological Bible. There's no better way to prepare for what God wants to do in and through you this year than to spend time each day in His Word. The one-year chronological Bible will help you do just that as you grow deeper in your understanding of God's Word through 365 daily Bible readings that guide you through Scripture in chronological order. So call now to request the one-year chronological Bible as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Join us tomorrow as Dr. Young concludes his message with encouragement for you to stay out of the darkness of sin and in the joy of a winning walk with Jesus Christ.
Could have lost my mind.
Could have lost my mind.
Stepped in.
But you stepped in right on time. I could have lost my soul. But you never let me go. And because of this, I can proceed. Lord, you've always supplied my need.
You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9
The member of the Trinity is the one given to do work on earth on behalf of the Godhead in heaven.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
It authorizes you to receive information from heaven for living your life on earth.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. How do we get God's thoughts and attitudes into our heads? Well, we find them in Scripture, but can we really think God's thoughts? Dr. Evans says yes, and he'll tell us how that happens as he takes a look at the Holy Spirit and what the Bible calls the mind of Christ. Let's join him as he begins.
We've been studying the names of the Holy Spirit because those names indicate his function, indicate his work. Remember now, this third member of the Trinity is the one given to do work on earth on behalf of the Godhead in heaven. God the Father was the point person in the Old Testament. Jesus, the Son, was the point person on earth during the Gospels. God, the Holy Spirit, is the point person during this, which we call the church age. He is that member of the Trinity who has been assigned to act on their behalf in history. The Father functions from the third heaven. The Son sits on his right hand to rule spiritually in heaven to earth. And he does that through the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. I want to look at this name given to him, this identification, this symbol in 1 John 2. He's called the anointing. Now, if you've been in church for any length of time, you've heard the word anointing, anointed, the anointed one. This word is a word that speaks to a specific work of the Holy Spirit that you don't want to leave home without. For many people, the concept of the anointing boils down to an emotional experience. They feel something, and so they think they are feeling the anointing. When someone preaches a great sermon or sings a great song and you were ministered to it or by it, you might say that was an anointed sermon or that was an anointed song. What you're speaking about is the fact that there seemed to have been an emotive spiritual impact of what was said or what was heard on you. And most certainly, the anointing by the anointed one can produce an emotive response. But I want to suggest to you that the concept of the anointing goes much deeper than how you feel at a given moment. And if you come to understand this aspect of the third member of the Trinity's work, you will find it life transforming. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, "The Spirit of the Lord has come upon me, and he has anointed me." So the anointing and the anointed one is speaking of the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life, including in the life of Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing we want to establish is this. Every Christian has the anointing. If you are saved, if you have accepted Jesus Christ, you have, whatever this anointing is, we're going to explain in a moment, you have it, you possess it, you own it, it is there. This anointing speaks of the indwelling presence and work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Let me say that again. The anointing is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit designed to do his work in your life. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says that you have the Holy Spirit who indwells you. In the Old Testament, Holy Spirit came and left, came and left, came and left. You see the Holy Spirit coming on somebody, and you see him leaving somebody. Well, in the New Testament, when Jesus said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give him to you as a permanent resident in your life, and he's going to anoint you. So every Christian has the anointing, which is why he says in verse 20, you have an anointing and you all know. So you can't be a Christian and not be anointed. If you are a Christian, you have the anointing. You may not know what it is, you may not know how to use it, but you have it. So the key is knowing what it is and how to use it so you can benefit from it. Because he says you all possess it and you all have the anointing. The job of the anointing coming from the Holy Anointed One, the Holy Spirit, is to illuminate, bring to light, elucidate in your life God's messaging. His job is to take from up there and show it to you down here. The job of the anointing is to give you the data from heaven to your operation and my operation in history. If you don't know you have it and you don't know how to use it, you won't benefit from it even though you possess it. And it is unfortunate today that many Christians, and maybe even most Christians, don't know that they have it, don't know how to use it, and therefore don't get benefit from it. The job of this anointing is to extract from heaven messaging so that you can have it available to you on earth so that you can use it. Now, the way the anointing works, the Holy Spirit, when you become a Christian, enters your human spirit. The Holy Spirit enters the human spirit. Your spirit was given to you to give you the capacity to communicate with God. When you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus sent, infiltrates your human spirit. That is the anointing, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your human spirit. Your human spirit that's now been anointed by the Holy Spirit is inside your soul. Your soul is your self-identity. It's your personhood. The reason you know you exist is because you have a soul. You lose the soul, the body doesn't function, because the body is dependent upon the soul to express life. The Holy Spirit enters the human spirit, making the human spirit alive to God. The human spirit exists in the soul so that the soul can get data from the human spirit that's been anointed by the Holy Spirit, which feeds the human spirit information to distribute to the soul. When the soul gets the information from the human spirit that has been illuminated by the Holy Spirit, the soul feeds that data to the body. When the body gets the data from the soul that is received from the human spirit that has been anointed by the Holy Spirit, the body now functions differently because it has new data that has been in it. The reason why we have problems with our bodies is we have infection in our soul. But the reason we have infection in our soul is because we have a human spirit that's been contaminated by sin. But when the anointing enters the human spirit, because the anointing is perfect, the human spirit is now perfect because it has been anointed. So you got a perfect resident in your human spirit that now wants to give information to your infected soul. And when the Holy Spirit that now invades your human spirit sends out data that is received, adopted in your soul. Your soul begins to get healed, or as we would say, it really starts to get saved. When the soul is getting disinfected because of the infectedness due to the expression of the human spirit that's been invaded by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it then tells the body what to do. It tells the mind what to think. It tells the eyes what to see. It tells the ears what to hear. It tells the leg where to move, because it's gotten new information about how to function. So if you want to fix your body, you've got to clean up your soul. But if you want to clean up your soul, it's got to get information from your spirit. But to get information correctly from your spirit, it's got to be inhabited by the anointing. So that is how the anointing flows.
Dr. Evans will show us how we can amp up that flow when he returns with more of our message in just a moment. First, though, I want to mention Tony's brand new book, just published last week. It's called The Power of the Holy Spirit's Names. In it, Dr. Evans examines 12 of the Spirit's most significant titles in Scripture. Understanding these can help you grow in your ability to love and relate to the person of the Holy Spirit as you experience more fully His influence and guidance in your life. We want you to be one of the first to receive a copy of this brand new book as our thank you gift when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Along with it, we'll send you the companion DVD Bible study, workbook, and all 12 messages in Tony's current broadcast series as a bonus. You can get the audio messages from both volumes on CD or digital download. But this limited time offer won't last long, so be sure to get in touch with us today to get the details and make the arrangements. You can do that online at tonyevans.org. That's tonyevans.org. Or reach out to our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222 any time of the day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information for you right after part two of today's lesson and this.
People say Tony Evans' teaching makes the Scripture come alive. Imagine hearing it all at the very spot where the events of the Bible actually happened. Join Dr. Tony Evans on a once-in-a-lifetime tour of Israel. You'll stand where the crowds welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem, sit where they gathered to hear the Sermon on the Mount, worship in the room where the Last Supper took place, and see for yourself that Jesus' tomb is really empty. There are lots more stops on this pilgrimage, and along the way, Tony will share fascinating background stories and unforgettable insights that'll change the way you think about Scripture forever. Don't miss your chance to make an amazing investment in your family and your faith. Plan now to join Tony in Israel. Visit tonyevans.org today to check out the complete itinerary and make your reservation. Space is limited, so don't wait. That's tonyevans.org.
Many of us have in our homes dimmer switches. Those dimmer switches are designed to bring the light up. The dimmer switch may be off, which means there is no light. The dimmer switch may be low, so there is limited light. But the more the dimmer switch is raised up, the more bright things become. God has given every believer a dimmer switch. It is the anointing. It is the role of the Holy Spirit to progressively bring the light up so you see things from God's perspective. Now, you may have a dimmer switch. Well, if you're a Christian, you do have one, but it could be off. Or you have one, but you haven't turned it up, so the light is dim. If you have the anointing because you are a Christian, but it's off or not up, then you don't get the messaging. You don't get the data. You don't get the benefit of the anointing. The anointing is more than your emotions, although it may include that. The anointing is divine messaging that you have now been qualified to receive because the Holy Spirit has now entered into your human spirit. So that is the concept. We want to take you now into a little deeper understanding of how it works. That is given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here it is, verse 9. But it is written, things which eyes have not seen and ear have not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through his Spirit. He's not talking about heaven. He's talking about earth, because he says God has already revealed it. So listen to this. When the anointing is turned on and turned up, you get to see things eyes cannot see. That's what verse 9 says. When the anointing is turned on and turned up, you get to hear things ears have not heard. When the anointing is turned on and turned up, you get to think things that you would not normally think. It is taking you out of your physical into a spiritual reality, so that the physical is now perceiving, experiencing, seeing, and hearing things that is outside of its normal physical realm. Look at what he goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 2. He says, we receive them from the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. It knows the deep things of God. Now, in the next verse, he says, no one knows the thoughts of a man except the Spirit of a man. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit, the anointing, the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God has a search engine. It says he searches the deep things of God. So he can go deep like a deep sea diver into the thinking of God, and his job is to transfer God's thoughts to your life. Just like when you Google something on Google and you pull up stuff you didn't know to transfer it to your understanding. So we have exposed to us the World Wide Web, but believers have exposed to them the knowledge of God. And he says, and it's the job of the Spirit. So let me clarify something before we go any deeper. The job of the Spirit is to reach into the mind of God and transfer to the thoughts, sights, and ears of the believer. His job is to take truth and make it your experience, to bring it, to make it your reality, not just for information, but for transformation. Now notice what he goes on and says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Here's what I like about the anointing. It doesn't cost you anything. Once you accept Jesus Christ, it's freely given to you. So it's available to every believer, and it's available for free. You don't have to buy the anointing, okay? Now, you don't get this by secular understanding. You don't get this by popular viewpoint. Once you introduce human wisdom, you've turned down the dimmer switch. And so he says, not taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. So, the Spirit of God dips into the mind of God, since he is the third member of the Godhead, and he brings to the mind of man, or into the spirit of a man, that which he cannot see physically, cannot hear audibly, and would never think naturally. But he has revealed them unto us. That's what the anointing does. The natural man receives not the Spirit of God. Let me put it another way. The non-Christian does not have the anointing. The natural man, the non-Christian, they do not have the anointing. How many in here have DirecTV? Who has DirecTV? Okay? A lot of you have DirecTV. If you have DirecTV, it means you have a receiver. That receiver is designed to pick up programming from outer space. There is a satellite in outer space that sends a signal to your receiver so that you can get programming from up there on your screen down here. If you don't have DirecTV, you don't have their receiver, so you can't call down their programming. Non-Christians can't call down heaven's programming because they don't have a receiver to receive it. They don't have the anointing. So because they don't have a receiver to receive it, they can't get heaven's programming, even though they go to church, even though they may pray, even though they may read their Bible. They don't possess a receiver, so they can only get what human wisdom gives. They cannot get divine programming. So that's the natural man. That's the non-Christian. I hope we don't have any natural people here today, because that means you don't have a receiver. So you will hear my sermon, but you won't be able to use it, because you won't be able to receive from the Spirit, in your human spirit, the truth that's coming based on the Word of God. Now he goes to another person. He says in verse 15, but he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The natural man doesn't have a receiver. The spiritual man not only has a receiver, he keeps his receiver on. The spiritual man can appraise or evaluate all things, because a spiritual person sends everything through a spiritual grid. You are only a spiritual Christian if you consistently send all data through a spiritual grid. So that means you keep the dimmer up all the time, because everything is going through the grid of spiritual words combined with spiritual thoughts. And guess what he says you have in verse 16? You have the mind of Christ. You know what it is to have the mind of Christ? It means Jesus is thinking his thoughts in your brain by means of the Holy Spirit, who is the anointing. And what thoughts is Jesus thinking in you? Thoughts that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and thoughts you wouldn't have thought about thinking about, even if you would have thought to think it, because he's bringing his thoughts to your brain because you have the mind of Christ.
Dr. Tony Evans, with powerful insights today on the divine connection the Holy Spirit produces in believers. Amazingly, that's a special relationship God makes available to each of us when we choose to walk with him. And if that's something you want to do but have yet to take the first steps, now's the best time ever to begin. Just visit TonyEvans.org and click on the link that says Jesus. There, Tony will explain everything you need to know about what it means to be a real Christian and how to start a brand new lifelong journey with the Lord. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. And while you're on the website, don't miss out on your chance to take advantage of that special offer I mentioned earlier. It's a three-part Holy Spirit resource package, including all 12 messages from volumes 1 and 2 of Tony's current audio series, The Names of the Holy Spirit, along with his brand new book and Bible study, The Power of the Holy Spirit's Names. They're yours with our thanks when you make a donation to help keep this listener-supported program coming your way. Just visit TonyEvans.org to make the arrangements, or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are standing by to assist with your request. That's 1-800-800-3222, or online at TonyEvans.org. The Bible teaches that as disciples of Jesus, we are in Christ, but it also says Christ is in us. So which is it? Dr. Evans will sort that out for us tomorrow as he continues his look at the work of the Holy Spirit. I hope you'll join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches.
Praise the Lord, everybody. We got a message to encourage you and let you know that no matter what and through. There's still glory coming, and it's coming after this. Clap your hands, come on!
Coming.